They represent their learned minds and religion, their learned minds and government, their learned minds and finances. Then they come around me and they try to entice me, they try to influence me, they try to direct me, and they see they have nothing strong enough to do that with. This is a blessing. They go back and they tell their bosses. No, he hasn't changed yet. No, he hasn't changed yet. No, he hasn't changed yet. What is this doing? This is weakening their bosses. And in time, their bosses will say, maybe he is backed by God. So I don't hate this situation. I welcome this situation. But I hope you won't be fooled or distant from me. And I'm not talking about all of you. Better than a third of these here are employed by those weak ones that are around me. They don't work for me, they work for the weak ones around me. And they think that they won't have a check unless they obey those weak ones around me. They think they can't survive in Chicago unless they obey those weak ones around me. Well, good. That's good for you. You've got what you deserve. You're weak, and you got somebody like you to be your master. That's good. That's a beautiful and perfect relationship for you. But I pray you good ones don't come under their influence. People around me committing adultery. People around me committing fornication. People around me drinking whiskey. People around me lying and conniving and scheming and trying to undermine strength for God. Strength for God, they're trying to undermine it. People around me constantly working to keep this thing in check so that it never grow as big, so big that they can't handle it. They want to keep it small enough for them to always be able to handle it. Let me tell you something, you damn crazy fool. It's already too big for you to handle. You are fighting. You are working and fighting against something that is just hopeless. You're fighting and working for something that is hopeless. Too late. This is our season. You're going under. We're coming up. Nothing will change that in the heavens or in the earth. Even bold enough to tell me, prove your charges against me. If I would do that, you wouldn't be able to serve me anymore. A believer respects leadership. A believer will not connive and scheme and work against leadership. Wherever I see anybody doing this, this is clear enough sign for any fool that that's not a believer. That's a plant. And the wrong kind of plant. That's the tare. It want to choke out the wheat. Now, I have an announcement to make to you today. And I hope that you will accept this announcement and act as I ask you to act. That is, accept it as I ask you to accept it. Minister Farrakhan is here on the rostrum today. Nobody has asked him to come out. Nobody has forced him to come out. He's here because he wants to be here. He told me that he supports me, that he wants to work for me, that he has been trying to, that he has some differences, but those differences don't separate him from me, and they don't separate him from this community. As long as he accepts that there is one God, and he accepts it in the sense that I preach it, and as long as he accepts that Muhammad of Arabia is the last and universal prophet who received the Quran, the last and complete message for the whole world, as long as he accepts the fundamental teachings of Islam, the fundamental teachings and practices and beliefs in Islam, as long as he accepts to turn his face in worship toward the Qibla, the first house built by Abraham and his son Ishmael in Mecca, I don't ask him to worship Arabs. I don't ask him to worship Mecca. I ask him to conform to the guidance of God, to the order of God, and that is that we recognize the first place where he established this pure faith, and that was where the Kaaba is in Mecca. God established it there as he wanted to keep it in the earth, and he grew it from that point so that it spread and grew all around the world. God wants us to turn and focus our eyes on that Qibla, on the Kaaba, and on the holy precincts there called Masjid al-Haram, the sacred precincts there around that Kaaba. If he can do that, as I ask you to do it, and who knows whether he has come around more than you have come around. I'm not talking to you individually. I'm talking to all of you. I don't know whether he has come around more than you or whether you have come around more than he. He expresses himself. You don't express yourself. Maybe if you would express yourself, it'd be you that we'll be saying that's making trouble or bringing confusion into the minds of the people. Certainly, I know what he's saying. He's saying that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has to be respected, that his contributions have to be respected, that we have to give him a high place in our history. I'm sorry that he can't understand I've done that. He was very close to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He has very deep sentimental feelings about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I regret that he doesn't have the deep insight and understanding that Allah has blessed me with. If he did, he wouldn't ask me to do any more for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad than I've done. But this is something that he has to suffer within himself. This is a problem that he has to live with. And some of you live with worse problems. I'm not asking any man or anybody among us to put down the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm telling you that he's not a prophet, never was. I'm telling you that he was not divinely sent as messengers are sent. Messengers are sent with pure truth. Messengers don't come with lies and truth. Hold up. Messengers don't come with tricks and truth. Messengers come with only truth. You understand what I'm saying? I think they have turned me back on now for the whole hookup. When I was saying something that they didn't want to hear, I doubt if all the messengers heard what I said just before. I think they had some failures somewhere out there. They know how to make failures in certain places, you understand. When I'm saying the thing that they don't want out, they cause a failure somewhere in the hookup. You didn't have the burden of fear on you. I feel sorry for you. I look out there among you and I can see you just fearful. They're gonna kill him. Not unless Allah let them kill me. I don't think the chief knows what he's up against. Am I up against the sun? Is the sun attacking me? Is the moon attacking me? Is the earth attacking me? If all of those things were attacking me, they still couldn't make me stop preaching. You don't understand. Once you know God, nothing of creation can interfere in your life. And I know God. I gave myself to God. I trusted Him before I knew Him like I know Him now. And once I trusted Him completely, He showed me that nothing material, animate or inanimate, has any power of its own, that there is constantly over it at all times the power of Almighty God. You can't do anything to me. Your bosses can't do anything to me. The whole world can't do anything to me unless Allah allows it. Allah has given me so many signs because He knew what I was going to come up against. And if He didn't give me strong signs to protect me, to comfort me when I'm being attacked by strong powers, He knew that I would be upset, I would be fearful, I'd be trembling for my life. So He gave me strong signs to let me know you have nothing to fear but me. I've been talking to you for some time here. For 2 years, right? And the first time I addressed you, I told you to stop giving the forces of your life to emotionalism. Don't react to emotions all the time. Do some thinking. I've been told that certain so-called brothers, followers, Muslims, maybe some of them are 100% sincere, but just misguided. I've been told that some of them is talking about stopping Minister Farrakhan. He's making trouble. He's not with the chief. Did the chief tell you to stop him? Even if I did, you should still think before you act. I told you that this truth that we are delivering, it will stand up without sticks and guns to protect it. They don't need any brute force. Any mob, gunmen, to go out and stop people if they are challenged to this. You like to have the atmosphere like that, so you can go out and stop somebody that's doing good in the name of a good thing. I told the staff members, the members of our staff here, that if Minister Farrakhan wants to go out and teach on his own, say he's welcome to do so. I told him that if, as long as he don't teach something against what we're teaching, he has no reason to a fear I anticipate any attack from me. But I said, if he teach something against this, then I'm going to rise up and meet his attack and defend this against what he say. And I guarantee you that there is not a man, woman, child, force in this creation that is able to stand up and preach against what I'm telling you and be successful. I've talked to Minister Farrakhan personally. We've had private conversations. I don't see in him any desire to stop what we are doing. I don't see in him nothing but a desire to speak from his own mind and conscience in a way that is innocent and honest. Now, if he's got other intentions, he'll have to show that to me. I don't want you telling me that exists. I don't see it. He'll have to show it to me. And if he shows it to me, I'll tell him. Say, look, brother, it'll be best that we separate because you are not working for me. You're working against me.
I'll tell him that. But until I tell him that, let us all accept him.
Well, then they know how to turn it down, you know. Let us all accept him as our brother. Let us all accept him as a minister, as an imam, as a teacher of Islam. I accept Minister Farrakhan. I accept him. He haven't yet accepted coming to the imam, but if he wants to be an imam, I accept him. If he wants to be an imam, I accept him to come in and be an imam. And let us all see who are the best followers. Let's not close the door to people who say I follow and keep them out, not giving them the chance to prove that they follow. Let's let everybody come in that won't follow. And let us judge everybody by what we see them do, not by what we hear they're doing. Let us judge everybody by what we see them doing. And I'm not asking for any army to pick up weapons or guns or to use their fists or anything else to defend what I'm saying. I don't need you, you crazy brute force. If you want to use your muscles, go join the police department. You want to shoot somebody? Join the law enforcement. I don't need nobody to shoot people away from me. Well, they'll shoot you, Chief. You're closer to me than they are. I better worry about you shooting me first. We have to have unity. We have to have peace. You know the way of the old world, their work is to divide and conquer. When you see forces constantly trying to turn you against personalities in the group, that's the forces of the old enemy trying to keep you weak and beneath them. Don't obey those forces. I preach respect for the government. I preach that you should live a life of an American and that you should accept to identify with this American country and with this government. But I don't teach you that you ought to just give your life completely over to the government and over to this society. No, your life is an Islamic life. You have to live your life for yourself. The government is not an Islamic government. They're not going to teach you how to be Muslim. They're not Muslim. The society is not a Muslim society. It's not going to teach you how to be Muslim. It's not Muslim. The old so-and-so is doing such and such. Now he's drinking. Now he's doing this. We're losing everything. The society is going down. You're going down. We're going up. Minister Farrakhan, he told me that he thinks he can help those people who used to live a disciplined life following Imam Elijah Muhammad, but now don't have faith in what I'm doing, so they have given up on their lives. He says he thinks he can help them. If he thinks he can help them and he wants to help them, why don't we let him help them? I say let him help them. Or maybe he'll get a good number together and become a threat to you. Have you become a threat to me? No, but we got control now. I know what control you got. And nobody but Allah can take that control away from you. Because the devil has given it to you. And there's nobody that's strong enough to defeat Satan but Allah. So don't worry about Minister Farrakhan taking control from you. He can't take control from you. You got that control from somebody that's big, so big, there's nobody over them but Allah. Don't worry about other people threatening your control. Have a few other quick announcements. I want to acknowledge hard work before all of you of our sister Erlene Muhammad. This is a young sister recently converted to Islam. She's a student at a college here in the City College here in Chicago. This sister sold 300 to 400 Bilalian news in the worst days of our winter. This sister got pneumonia selling the papers. But thanks to Allah, she's over the pneumonia now, and she's still working just as hard. The other day I was here, and I saw her with Bilalian news standing on outside when I came up, holding it up. See, Allah show you? He show you weak men. That you don't have the strength anymore, but don't think I don't have the strength to make people do with the power of truth what you made them do with a threat of a mob, a FOI mob standing over. This sister did that with nobody threatening her. No compulsion. Nobody told her you have to take 40 papers, 300 papers. Nobody told her, pay, give me $40 please for this 300 papers in advance. On her own, she took 300 to 400 papers and sold them willingly without any compulsion. Allah showed us this good sister so we'll know that he has the power. Don't think he can't marshal together a Bilalian news force to sell as many papers as you did under the power of brute force. But he is all wise. and he will do it as he wants to do it. May Allah forever bless you, Sister Arlene Muhammad. She's an outstanding sister. She's on an honor roll in her school. She makes all top marks. I pray one day she'll be a great leader for us here in Chicago. Maybe she'll become a great leader in the field of education. She'll be a help to the school or something. We don't know. Maybe she'll become a great defender of the faith. We don't know. But I know something great is in store for this sister because she is earning it. Now, I just mentioned her name because this sister is so unique among us. But there are many others, too, who are very, very dedicated and do hard work and sacrifice much. Also, I want to ask you today, while we're on National Hookup, to work hard for the next 2 weeks and sacrifice from your income. Don't go rob anybody. Don't risk your baby's life. Don't risk having yourself put out of doors. Don't shame yourself. Don't lower your dignity. But if you can sacrifice from your earnings, from your income, and help us for the next 2 weeks on the national debt, I think we can improve our financial position. There's great release in store for us in the future. Inshallah, within less than a year, maybe 6 months, we'll be talking about profits instead of debt and burdens. But right now, we're talking about debts and burdens. We do have something that is strong and it's showing a lot of promise, and that's the Imports Department. And since it has been able to survive and remain strong and continue to grow, I ask that the leader of that department, Brother Nada Ali, the business head of that department, become the business head for the whole community. And I've asked the cooperative attorney here, who works for an independent firm downtown, Attorney Nasif Muhammad, Nasif Muhammad, to join Brother Nada Ali and give him the proper legal advice and proper cooperative business advice for legal negotiations and legal action, so that he will have the support from strong attorney. He's a cooperative attorney who works with a strong firm. He's a great asset. I've also asked Brother Attorney Mustafa to also join and give his support to Brother Nada Ali, who will be the head of all the businesses in Chicago and over those businesses that are still national businesses in our under our control. And I've asked that Brother Mustafa also be elected to the position of executive officer for the Board of the Imam, executive business officer for the Board of the Imam. And I think we should give others a chance. We have seen what the ones we have done. They have made a lot of progress in many areas, but they have balked and have many problems and seem to be balked down in other areas. So let's see, can a fresh crew come in and take over and continue the progress so that we won't be balked down in any area. I'm also asking that believers who had savings with us get the benefit of those savings. Right now, we are not in a position to give you cash, But we do have businesses that we're spinning off. If you want a share equal to your savings in those businesses, you're welcome to get that share. I understand that there are some who have conspired with people among us to claim shares that they don't have, even got false documents that show that they have savings. So we're going to really go through them with a fine-tooth comb and trace them and search them out all around the world if we have to make sure you have legitimate claims on these savings. And I'm asking every member of the imam board here and every imam in the region throughout the country to join us in protecting us from these crooks that want to rob the community of its strength and its wealth. For the next 2 weeks, please give what you care. I'm asking also that a bank account be set up for national savings, and that the imams across the country donate, send their contributions directly to the bank account. Money shouldn't be coming like this. It's too big a temptation. If we can stop the temptation, let's do it. And I think we can stop it if we send big sums of money into bank accounts that I can check on, that the staff can check on, that all members have equal assets to. But if some have better assets to something than others, we stand in a terrible position to be fooled and tricked and robbed. I'm asking that account be set up immediately, so that checks from across the country be sent to that account. It'll be a national account, and then we'll withdraw from that account to pay our national debts and whatnot. I hate to hold you like this, but this is an important day. This is an important day. Today you saw Officer Renault Robinson come out and address us. This is the beginning of a program that I've initiated. I've asked that the staff invite healthy, decent persons from all law enforcement departments to come and address our community on problems. Don't you know the reason why we are helpless is because we don't have no direct contact with any power or authority? All of our contacts come through other people, come indirectly. We have to go through a long line of people to reach the people that are really influencing our lives and controlling our lives. We are not going to get respect and recognition and cooperation from law enforcement and government until we start having a direct communication and association with law enforcement and government. I know how suspicious and crazy you are. I know how dumb you've been made. I know how you suspect everything if it's not going in the direction that you think it should go in. I don't have time to preach to you and establish the strength and the rightness of what I'm doing. I'm just telling you, this is what I'm doing. I don't have but a few minutes to tell you it's the right thing to do, that it will protect us and it will give us more strength in Chicago and in our communities and in our homes. I'm going to invite people from the FBI department. They have a service department, a community service department. I'm going to invite them to come down here and address us and tell us what problems they have with us. That's the only way we're going to solve them. We're going to have to solve them in the open. There's no secrecy in Islam. Muslims do everything in the open. I'm going to invite the fire department to come down here and address us and tell the community what kind of problems is happening. I'm going to invite the CIA to come down here. If you want something from us, come and tell all of us. We don't want no secrecy. Let it all come out in the open. lawful, legitimate government agency, intelligence agency or other, got any business in our community, got any problems here, needs cooperation from us, I'm asking them to send their representatives down here to us to address our committee, to address the committee, and to address the whole community. We will call a community gathering just like we have today. And I want them to address our community and our committee and tell us what problems they have in our community. And we want to tell them what problems we are facing in our community that they can help us with. We don't want a lot of stew pigeons, a lot of Uncle Tom working as in-between men for us undercover just to preserve bean soup, party money, a steak once a week. These cheap in-between men are keeping us down in slavery and corruption. The only way we're going to get rid of them, we have to deal directly with the forces of this world. I don't have to speak to nobody in between, man. I have earned respect from the leaders of government, from the leaders of intelligence departments. I've earned respect from kings and queens of the world. I've earned it. If they want any business, if they got any business with us, come on down here and talk it in the open. We are not the enemies of the CIA. We are the enemies of corruption. We are not the enemies of the FBI. We are the enemies of corruption. We are not the enemies of police department. We are the enemies of corruption. We are not the enemies of the government. We are the enemies of corruption. So I'm inviting them. They say they want to do more, they want cooperation from the citizens. I welcome them, I invite them to come down here. Talk to us, let's work together. I want a strong America. I want a strong government for America. I want a strong intelligence department for America. You think I don't? You crazy if you think I don't. You think I want a weak government for America? Maybe another government will come in that might not be as good to me as America is. I don't want no weak government for America. I want a strong government for America. I want a strong department for police department, for Chicago. I want strong intelligence department. But I don't want none working undercover, restraining and retarding the work that I'm doing. And the reason why they have so much control on us is because these in-between lackeys, Uncle Tom, these black slaves, are giving them false reports on us and making them think we are a danger, an explosive threat here, when we are not. We have a few problems, but we don't need no police force to handle those problems. I guarantee you, there is no army in here that we can't have. When the police come, we will deliver them over to the police. The police won't have to free us. We'll deliver them over to the police. These in-between people, they want the government department to think that they have to constantly protect me from wicked people in this society, dangerous elements in the society, un-American elements in the society that want to take the power from me. And my only security is their protection. That's a lie. Ain't nobody threatening me but some silly, crazy-minded person that never did have their mental faculties working for them. And most of them don't do nothing but talk crazy. They ain't gonna do nothing. Do you think I just start talking like I talk? I talked like this before I came in this position. I got on the radio. I got on the TV. I challenge the whole nation of Islam on TV. In the 60s, in the late 60s, I challenged the whole nation of Islam on TV. I talked about it on radio. And I walked by myself. I lived in my home by myself. I had not one single guard, not one single security officer. I went on the job, I worked for other people. Sometimes I was working as a self-employed person, cleaning rugs and furniture. I was out in the street. Nobody killed me. I heard threats that they were gonna kill me. Nobody killed me. I had friends then, I got friends now. I got Allah, and I got the bleeding people who understand what we're doing and are willing to give their lives for it right now. I know that if I would ask you to throw anybody out of here, there'd be a great number of you who would sit down, but there would be enough of you who would stand up to throw them out and defeat all of those who sit down on their throne. And don't think I don't know who I got here. I know who's here. I know most of you are employed by others. But we don't need the majority. A third of us can whip two-thirds of the other. You want to see a miracle? Test your strength. I'm talking to those who think they have the power. I'm telling you, there's some sitting right before me now who's sitting there thinking, saying, nigga, we just need you right now. But we could do you in. I'm talking to them. You need me right now because Allah has made you to need me right now. When you stop feeling you need me, Allah is going to make something else happen to you. You don't know it. And you might go out of this world never knowing it. But you will never stop what we are doing. Now, lastly, I want to ask you to keep up the attack on this physical Caucasian image that they give us in the community for us to reverence as the Son of God. We are not attacking Jesus. Jesus was a righteous prophet, a servant of Almighty God. We are not attacking Jesus. We are attacking the image that they use to breathe inferiority into our community and superiority into their people. If you fail me, you just lose yourself. If you stand up and act, you'll be successful. You might even find so-called Orthodox Muslims tell you. Muslims are not supposed to attack the things that other people reverence. Because the Holy Quran says don't attack their God, the gods that they reverence, because they may attack yours. Prophet Muhammad didn't attack the image of Jesus on the cross. But now it's time to attack it. Why? Because they don't reverence that image anymore. That image used to be reverenced. There are not a lot of people who really believe sincerely that that image is God anymore. America and the Western world disrespect Jesus. They don't have any more respect for Jesus. They don't have any more respect for God and religion. So the same rules don't apply anymore. This world have lost sincere reverence for Jesus. They have lost that kind of belief that Jesus in the flesh is God. Most of the learned people of the Western society now don't believe that Jesus is flesh God. They believe that Jesus is just a spiritual manifestation of God.